Good morning, church. Our first reading is going to be from 1 Peter 1, verses 17 through 25. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it is not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And then our gospel reading is going to be found in John 11. And we're going to be reading verses 41 through 53. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. "What are we accomplishing?" they asked. "Here is this man performing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, spoke up. "You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Here ends the reading.
I'd like to invite kids to come down. I don't care. Come on, we'll pile up on one side. I think we got enough room. Good morning. Yeah, they'll make room for you, honey. Squeeze in there. Squeeze together a little bit. Let her in. Let her in there somehow. There you go. You can make it. Good. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a really good story. I don't know if it's a true one, but it is such a good story, I'm going to use it as an example for you. A man had a son, and his son had a friend, and they were both about your age or maybe a little older, not much. And he said, "Let's go fishing on the big lake." And so they got in the boat, and the boys didn't want to put on their life jackets. And as they were out there on the big lake, a wave they did not see or expect came and tipped the boat over and knocked all three, the dad and the two boys, out, and the boys began to drift off in different directions. So one was way over there, one was way over here, and the father had to make a choice. There was his son, there was his friend, and he knew he could only save one of them.
His son.
He didn't save his son. And when people asked him why he saved the other boy, he said, "I know my son was a believer in Jesus. I know I will see him again in heaven. But this boy over here, he would have gone straight to hell." He said, "I had to save him so that Jesus Christ could save him." Now, that's a pretty sad story, isn't it? Because you want both kids to get saved. You know that God was in heaven looking at you, and he said, "I love you." But you know what? This was before some of you got saved. He said, "Those kids aren't all going to go to heaven unless I figure out a plan." And so he let his son die so that you could be rescued and taken to heaven forever and ever. That's how much God loves you. One of the things we say sometimes on Good Friday and around this time is that Jesus put one hand out like this and they put a nail in it, and he put another hand out like that and they put a nail in it, and God said, "I love you this much." Can you imagine how much the Father loved you to let his son give up his life so that you, me, and everyone here could be saved? That's what the sermon's about today. Okay? Can you remember that? Good. You get to sneak around. Go quick back there. Let the ladies go first. They got some stuff for you guys too. They got stuff in there for you. I know. It's chips. Oh, okay. Now I'd like to invite, is Rob here? Oh, there he is. Hey, Rob, come on up. Rob and Travis, come on up. And Jim and Bonnie, come on up. And elders, get behind them. Just kind of face out. When the music starts, you guys can start the dance. I told Bonnie and Jim, when the music starts, we start to sing over them. They have to start dancing. These are our elders, or some of our elders. They're going to lay hands on you as part of the welcoming. As individuals who have transferred or been recognized as fellow believers in Jesus Christ, the thing that we do in this kind of reception is not so much test you as go, do you understand that you carry a responsibility if we receive you as members, and that responsibility is to participate in communion and other things that God would have us have you participate in, but also that you would bless us with your gifts, your insight, your convictions, your direction, or other things if we need to be rebuked or encouraged or anything else. And so part of what we agree to is that there is going to be this give and take. You're willing to do the things that you feel the Lord is telling you to tell us, and we're willing to do the things the Lord is telling us to tell you. And so it is the body of believers accepting you as one of us, and also recognizing that you have something to bless us with, some insight, some understanding, just the presence of who you are, as well as some things that the Lord may be revealing to you. So if you guys would put your hands on their shoulders, we're going to pray over you. Lord, these brothers and sisters, Lord, are just true blessings. And we thank you so much for the gift of them becoming a part of this fellowship. We thank you for the gifts that you've already poured into them, that you want to pour through them, and for the things that you want them to bring to us, and the traits, the goods, the struggles, the difficulties, and all the things that come with them, Lord, we accept and we receive them, Lord, as brothers and sisters of one faith before you, Lord. And we ask that their lives would be strengthened and blessed by this union and fellowship that we're welcoming them to. We're asking, Lord, that they would be filled with grace and encouragement, and that your blessing would be upon them. If any of the elders have a short prayer they want to say, go ahead.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, I just thank and I praise you, Lord, for everyone you've brought here today. I thank you, Lord, for bringing them to this congregation. And I ask, Lord, that you just bestow upon them the power of your Spirit, and that you would lead them, Lord, in the walk and the direction you would have for their lives.
we as a congregation and our preaching and teaching and fellowship, that we fortify them in faith and help serve them, and that they in turn serve the body also, and that we all touch the world around us in all that we do, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, many years ago I was up here once and prayed over like these people have been and are being prayed over today, Lord. And I remember being given the verse, a good work that God has started, let it be completed in you. And I pray that for these people, that the work that you've started in their hearts that brought them here, the work that you continue to do in their lives, Lord, I pray that you bring all that to completion, that it is completed to perfection. In your name we pray.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I pray a blessing on the families here, and just pray that you would keep them close to you and just bless their time with us. Thank you for that.
Lord, you are so good to us, and we thank you for this day and this opportunity to welcome them. Help us to receive them with both the encouragement and warmth that only you can put within us, and help them to accept and to receive all that we have for them, that we can pour into their lives and be available to them in any way you see fit. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Travis, let me shake your hand and welcome you. You guys grab that. Deb's not here. He's here. His wife couldn't work. She works on Sundays. Bonnie and Jim. Good. God bless you, and he's got something for you. They're both the same. They're just slightly wrapped a little bit different. But thank you. You guys get to sit down. Oh, wait. You don't get to sit down. Now the dancing starts.
Irish jig.
Almost lost my head there. All right. If you haven't sung this song, learn it. It's a fun song. We're going to sing this over you, and you just have to listen. And you really don't have to dance.
To the family, we're glad that you have come to share your life with us. As we grow in love, and may we always be true, what God would have us be, a family always there, to be strong and to be loved. May we learn to love each other more with each new day. The word of love be on our lips in everything we say. May the Spirit melt our hearts and teach us how to pray. That we might be a true family. We're glad that you have come to share your life with us. As we grow in love, may we always be true. What God we have us be, a family always there, to be strong and to lead on. To be strong and to be strong and to lean on.
A little welcome applause here. You guys get to sit down. Text in Peter, I actually like, but you got to understand, I like Ecclesiastes too. So some people can't stand Ecclesiastes, but I love it. I like the end of this one, and I learned to like it a long time ago, where it ends with these passages that are shared here. It goes, all men are like grass. All their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Some people hear that and they almost are depressed over that. It's kind of like, what's your life anyway? You really have no purpose. Just like a lump of grass. And I go, it's really not what it's doing for you. It's trying to help you understand that all the things that we fight over, all the things that we have to possess, all the things we think are so important when we're at certain ages, they just kind of slip through our fingers. Like dried grass at the end of the fall season that just kind of, you pick it up and it just breaks off and almost turns to dust right through your fingers. But the end of it is what you're supposed to remember. One of the things we were studying in Bible study this morning was the fact that the Word of God, it has a definition for you. It gives you your identity. We got all these throw around words like, I have just identified as a fish, you know, or a cat, or a dog, or a guy, or a girl, or something insane. And our culture gets to buy into that junk if they want. And I whisper to you, God is whispering and he's shouting from his word, listen to what I said you are. You are my child. You are a treasure to me. And the illustration where you saw the father have to make a decision, will I rescue or pull my son out of the deathful situation, or will I pull you out of the death situation? I choose you. I don't care how you look. I don't care how much you weigh. I don't care whether your life is going good or bad or whether you're perfect or imperfect. I choose you. And he speaks that to you with all the love and rescue and sound of hope that he wants to pour into your and my life. And so what's happening here is Peter is trying to communicate this with the people there, because he goes on in the next chapter and talks about this. These people, you are living stones built in the temple of God. The idea that you're alive and you're part of the body of Christ and you're absolutely vital. You're just as vital as trying to make an arch without the capstone or the center stone at the top of the arch that holds the arch together. And it goes, do you understand that here is Peter trying to shout to people the very insight that he wants to give them related to their value, their worth, the treasure they are in God? And so I had him start when we, a little bit holy here, it talks about, and I could have started farther back, but I started at 17, and I go, there's a passage there in verse, let me go backward, it goes, even at the hand of to you, the Holy Spirit, can't find it right off the top of my finger here. Anyway, it's a future. Oh, so be holy in all that you do. The last phrase there is found there at the end of verse 15. So be holy. It's in the future tense. You will be holy. You will, because God is going to take and grab hold of your life. God has already determined your value. God is already like a father who rescues the unbelieving friend of his son and allows his son to pay the price and drown at this particular illustration. And you realize, God goes, do you understand how precious you are to me? And he begins to speak that to you in my heart. And so when we start now at verse 17, it says, since you call on a father, it's kind of an interesting phrase that you can also, and it says, if the father you call on, that kind of the one you have selected to call on, it goes on from there and it says this, who judges each man's work impartially, live your life as strangers here in reverent fear. What an awesome, unbelievably sad situation if you had to go home and tell your wife, I had to let Jesus die so that I could save Bruce. And she would have to look at you. And I go, I'm trying to create the kind of emotion and feeling and understanding of how precious you were. And in that decision, the preciousness of who that boy, me, that sinful, no good, poor fisherman, no good swimmer, was to this family who chose, this father chose to risk his life for my sake and rescue me while he had to let his own son die. That's the miracle of what we're about to celebrate in the gift of Good Friday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday. And so we come into this text, and Peter is trying to get us to grapple with some of this stuff. And he goes, do you recognize that God judges everyone impartially? Why did he save this one and not that one? This one needed salvation yet. This one needed to go to heaven. He looks at you and he says, that's the way I choose you. It doesn't matter. And the word impartial means I'm not going to be influenced by how rich you are, how good you are, how bad you are. I'm not going to be influenced by any. I would save you if you were my son's drug-addicted, useless, wretched friend. I judge impartially. What do you mean, Jesus? I went to the cross for all people's sins. I want you to grapple with that. And he goes on there and says, as obedient children, I'm sorry, jumped one verse. Here live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. And it goes on from that point. It says, help me, Jesus. I'll give you an example. It just came to my mind, and I think I've shared it before. In Saving Private Ryan, if you've never seen that, don't watch it while your son's in the military in Kosovo. That's the only thing I can tell you. Don't watch it then. Because then my prayer, like I told you, was kill them all, God, kill them all, son, and let God sort them out. But there's an end of the movie where an old man comes walking over into the fields of crosses and stars and whatever they have over in France. And he's walking through and he finds Private Ryan, who died, rescuing him so he could go back home to his mom and his family. And he's got his wife and his children and a couple of grandchildren there. He's got the whole extended family that were able to come into Europe with him. And he goes down and he kneels in front of Ryan's cross. And with tears in his eyes, he looks at his wife and he says, tell me I deserve this, because I've never felt like I was good enough to deserve this. That's reverent, awesome, fearsomeness. I'm never good enough. You chose your son to die for me. How can I ever be deserving of that, Lord? And he says to you and me, you will be holy. You will manifest that heart. Take that father's heart, kneeling at the graveside of a man who risked and gave his life for him, and bring it home with you. Teach it to your children and your children's children. Teach them the concept and understanding of sacrifice. Teach them what all of these things that you learned about life and people and value and meaning and all the rest that he had to go, that is presented in the framework of that movie, or in, more importantly, in real life. And you begin to understand, here is Peter trying to say, you need to be in reverent fear for what you're beginning to see here. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold. He wasn't crying over this man because he gave him $10,000 to buy him out of prison or something. He cried over this man because this man shed his blood. This man did not go home to his wife and his family. This man paid the ultimate price so that in the movie, Private Ryan could be saved. In our movie, where you're the center of attention, and you and I are standing there at the graveside of Jesus Christ, thank God it's open, but we begin to understand that prayer, that thing that we're speaking is, how could you have ever loved me so much, Lord Jesus, that you would have given your life for me? How could I possibly miss what you determined was so valuable, so precious, that it cost your son's own blood? And he goes on and he says this, for you know that it was not with perishable things as silver or gold that you were bought, ransomed, you know, bought from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. And what's that? The first part of that verse I read to you was, there, much of life is so empty in its own way. I can get so frustrated about any number of things. I didn't like the stuffing this year, or I did like the stuffing. You know, I like this. Oh, and they, nobody, and everybody. And it can be over all the most petty, shallow, unbelievable things. And the farther I go back, the more shallow I was, believe it or not. But I go, the problem, of course, is that as you're beginning to understand this, redeemed from the empty way of life, thinking that this is the only thing that matters, God looks at you and says, who in your world would you be willing to give your life for? Suddenly I get silent as I kneel beside the grave represented here of someone who gave his life for me. I begin to recognize how serious my salvation is, how much it costs God. We like to say salvation is a free gift from God, but it cost him everything to get it for you. And you begin to understand, here's Peter, how do I help people understand this? How do I help people live for the right things and to fight for the right things and make a difference in the right ways and walk away from the foolish, shallow, meaningless things that we have in life? You know, all of the outfits we had to have and the shoes and the cars and the belongings and everything we think was so absolutely necessary. God whispers to you and he looks at, you know, and says, do you think you deserve it? And my answer keeps coming back, no, I don't deserve it. God goes, I give it to you because I determined you are worth that much. I want people, kids, adults, men, women, I want every one of us to understand the value that you have in Jesus Christ. Nothing and no one is compared to you in the heart of God. And he doesn't play favorites. Doesn't matter whether you're younger or older now. Doesn't matter if you're taller or shorter, richer or poorer. None of those things matter, God. He knows you, the person, the human being, the soul of who you are. And he says, you are so precious. I traded my son's life. I allowed him to pay the price so you could go free. Watch what goes on then from there. But that what with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb, without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world and was revealed in these last times for your sake. God, did you know what a schmuck I would be? Oh, Bruce, I almost stopped the world because I saw what you were going to be like. And I go, have you ever thought like that? God looks at you and says, what are you going to bring to me that you think I didn't know about? What sin, what secret sin, what ongoing sin, what struggle do you have that I have not committed my son, myself, to doing all that I can to help you and forgive you and minister to you? And you begin to recognize what God is trying to call us through this. He says, he was chosen and this was decided before the first part of the world was even begun. God knew you before the world began, the scripture says. And you begin to understand what God is trying to reveal to us here. The very concept that is going on here as we go on. Without blemish. Revealed to you for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead, glorified him, and so your faith and your hope are in God. I trust a Father who made that decision, and if he tells me to come follow him, if he tells me I will be there for you on the last day, if he tells me I go to prepare a place for you, and I can't stretch the analogy too far, you know it breaks apart, but you begin to understand this God has already demonstrated that he is trustworthy and worthy of my life, my time, my effort, every part of anything I can give to him because of the very reality that he gave his son, allowed him to pay the price so that someone like myself could go free. And it goes on. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for the brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And then he finishes it off with that little phrase we were reading there about all men are like grass. So he goes from that idea of the seed, he goes, do you understand? Before time began, Bruce, before you even took your first breath or existed at all, my son and the price he had to pay for you was determined. And then he goes, everything else by comparison is dust in the wind, like it says in Ecclesiastes, is, you know, dried up grass, flowers that have fallen apart, and those kind of things. And so we get to the end of this, and that last line it says, but the word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the word that was preached to you. That's your bottom line. That's the final statement of the sermon. It's, don't waste your time pursuing dust in the wind. Don't waste your time holding on to a flower like it's going to be there forever. Enjoy what it offers you in that moment or those few days that it grows and blossoms and benefits everybody and does the things it does. But instead, understand what I'm telling you is eternal. What I'm giving to you and offering to you is the gift of eternal life and eternal joy and the presence of God. And so we get to the end and we end up with that. And that's the word that Peter wanted preached to you. He wanted you to hear that. Not to give up and say that's no value in the rest of my life. God whispers to you and says, do you know how many tears you've cried in your life? You want to try and guess? Scripture says that God's got them numbered. Scripture tells us that God's got them saved. Every tear. I can't remember how many I've cried. That's just as a man, much less as a boy or a child. All the things that happened in our lives, God whispers, he said, you will never be able to love yourself as much as I love you. And so when you leave today, understand the Son of God paid the price. He's the one that drowned in my little analogy. You're the one that the Father put his arms around you and said, I have chosen you. You are my child. I have placed a value on you that you cannot possibly ever understand, but that's who you are from the heart of God. Pray with me. Lord, it is a day of celebration, of joy. It's an opportunity for us to be a blessing to each other. But most importantly, Lord, it's an opportunity to say thank you again and again and again. Why would you choose someone like me and give your son in exchange? But for doing that, I am overwhelmed and I'm thankful, Lord Jesus. Come and bless us, encourage us, speak to the needs in our lives, and fill us with hope. Pray it in your name. Amen.